everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of the Lone Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and frontman. I'm here to bring you a solo episode, kinda, sorta, maybe. And the reason why I say that is because we are kinda, sorta, maybe, fresh off of the Eastern Panhandle Paracon event. There was Rita Christine's charity event at the school run. The official title for the event was Rita Christine's Rockin' Benefit at the local School of Rock thing. It's kind of based on, I think it's kind of based on the School of Rock movie, but it's a great charity after school thing that teaches kids about music and being in a band and how to play instruments. So we can't really fault them for that. So I'm going to cut it here because there's some stuff I have to correct. This is our thoughts on day one of the event. I won't say day one. This was, in essence, day two. Because Paracon was, in a way, a three-day event. They had investigations Friday night. The building wasn't really open up to vendors on Friday. Vendors and guests. On Friday, but it was open up to investigations on Friday, and even though as well as Saturday, but Friday, even though it was day one, it was just strictly paranormal investigations. So the official day one for vendors and invited guests and ticket holders, general admission, was Saturday, and day two was today, as of this recording, Sunday. So I'll come back after this little bit of a recording between me and Big Candy and tell you about day two. So, and what pretty much kind of correct something I might have stated about that evening. So I'll see you on the other side of the clip. Hey everyone, despite the weird 80s rock music that you hear playing overhead, we have no control over that because we are recording this in a McDonald's. <That's amazing. laughs> Wow. When they can't really do you all right.
Oh,
welcome
God
to McDonald's. And the reason why we're kind of recording this in a McD's today is because we went to, or today was our first day at Paracon. We did get a whole mess of content today, and we'll be getting by the time you hear this, we've already gotten a whole crap ton of content tomorrow, Sunday.
Yep.
There's going to be an interview after this, and we did quite possibly get some weird stuff while at Paracon as it is with some of the panels.
EVP.
Possible EVP. That will be included after. I have to listen to that particular recording to see if we actually got an EVP. If we did, awesome. But since Big Candy is ironically here with me today, that's right. Ain't that some
I'm
shit?
I'm in McDonald's studio.
In McDonald's studio. What did you think of Paracon, at least today?
It was good for the most part. Like, it was exactly what I thought it was going to be. I'll say that.
What did you think it was going to be?
Just pretty much like Ghost Hunter kind of stuff. And people that were attributed with the Ghost Hunters and, like, you know, kind of thing. Or Ghost...
Paranormal
investigation stuff, yeah. Lacking in the vendor department. I wish there would have been more variety of it, like vendors and stuff
right.
like that. But not too terrible.
I think about the same. It could have been more.
Yeah.
To me, one of the downsides is the... Granted, this is probably their first year doing this in this area. One thing is that they could have done it is tables. We kind of had to bring our own, from what I hear. Mm-hmm. That's commonplace for the Roundhouse. But
bring
your own tables. We did manage McGovern up. Thanks to Big Candy, we had a big table. We had found an interesting way to display our sign,
mm-hmm.
our banner that we had. But one of the things I think I want to, as I told Matt through Messenger, that I kind of want to blame is
for the lack of attendance is that we, for the better part of today, had rain.
Yeah.
That tends to keep a lot of people inside.
Yeah.
Especially with a weird event, kind of like Paracon, because it's very unlike a pop culture event where it brings in a lot of people. Mm-hmm. This is very niche.
Very niche.
Very niche type of.
Like everybody, I felt like all the presenters and the, you know, all those people knew each other.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like.
That's kind of hard to say because starting to work behind the tables like you and I have,
yeah.
We've known a lot of the vendors.
Well,
and
what I'm saying. Like, they're familiar with each other from being at these things all the time. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So they all know what to expect out of each other's speeches and, you know, stuff like that.
Right. And that could be said, we're kind of new to the paranormal convention game.
Yeah,
so kind of walking into this, I had to be, from a show standpoint, kind of very proper, very respectful, very, this is not like a Matt Burns event. I'm not saying, mentioning him in a bad light, it's not like a Matt Burns event, is that, okay, I need somebody like you, have at it. And this is something completely different with them than it is with us. We kind of know what we're doing, yeah. In regards from one we've been doing for this for 3 years, and thanks to Matt.
Well, and the other thing is, like, we're coming from more of a tongue-in-cheek kind of world, where, like, it's all comic books and, like, in fiction. And these people typically believe very much in what they're saying, and for people to hear some of the stuff that they say is a little odd. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but you can't. It's not. There's no jokey aspect to it. You know, like
right.
Where comic books, like there's a fun aspect to this. It's also very serious.
Yeah, it. Even though we're pop culture based show, we as a show try to be very as in the past have been, or at least try to be open minded skeptics in a way. When it comes to a lot of things that are paranormal, I think the folks that are doing this don't mind that because, in a way, they're open-minded skeptics themselves, and it's in the next couple of weeks when we are dishing out the panels that we recorded, it's their content that what their points are coming from and their experiences from what they're coming from, not ours, but for you at home listening, it will be something different for all of you to listen to, and something hopefully because the environment that we were recording in, a lot of it looks like it came in very, very well. Mm-hmm. From our standpoint, we just have to when I edit everything, I just have to look at it. It looks awesome. It looks like it came in perfect, and it's just a matter of giving it to all of you in nice bite-sized chunks. But hopefully you'll all get an enjoy of it. It's just that this is the first year. I hope the rain, if we have rain tomorrow, but it looks like we'll be getting rain tomorrow. But I'm just hoping that this isn't going to deter a lot from them, at least from a promoter standpoint, from doing this again next year, if at all.
Yeah.
But hopefully they'll give it at least that one extra shot next year.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think it was terrible. It was a bit underwhelming.
Right.
Tomorrow may be better.
Right.
Tomorrow may turn all around. Like, tomorrow may be a better day for it.
Right.
There may be less going on. Because I didn't know. You told me there was a whole odd fest thing going on around town. I didn't know about.
And the thing is, here in Martinsburg, they do have that aspect of an odd, what they call, in a way, to bring new people into the area. They develop this thing on a yearly basis called Odd Fest, where certain businesses and, like, the Apollo normally has, like, last year they did a haunted theater for a day, and they had the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and I think this year it was Paracon for today and tomorrow, and today we didn't get a chance to go kind of due to the rain. It's kind of hard to walk and travel and do a lot of stuff with the rain happening today. There's a School of Rock that had a charity event today. If we were able to kind of get away from Paracon early a little bit, we would have went down there and got some content. But I'm sad we missed out today in regards to that. But fear not, folks. We will be providing a whole mess load of content over the next dozen or so weeks. So it's that. And you will, hopefully you'll all hear some interesting tales, interesting stories. Everything from Paranormal Investigating 101 to how a paranormal TV show is put together. There's a whole aspect of things. Well, looks like from what I've seen when everything was recording, it was looked like it was great audio.
Yeah.
So, and everything was in prime location. No, I used the same format as I did a few years ago when it comes to recording the Chocolate Festival 2 years ago. But with the placement of our mic that we used, we didn't really have to put it right near a speaker, because the where we had to do it, it was on the podium and the speakers are at that podium using the main mic anyway, so payoff. And it looks like we're under 5%, so we're going to have to cut this kind of short in reference to it being at the like 10-minute mark. So I'm going to just pass it along to the interview that we did earlier today, and during my investigation of the audio that we got earlier, if we have any EVPs, I will also share that with all of you. And we might not have a day two coming up in reference to me and Big Candy, but there might be a day two VIA solo from me later on in this episode, so stay tuned for that. So it's going to be a nice long content for all of you today, and take care.
Now, as stated in that, I probably stated that I probably wouldn't have made it to Rita Christine's rockin' benefit. But the thing is, Matt Burns contacted me as soon as I got in and was proceeding to kind of unwinding. He said, the event's still going strong. They're rocking out down here. And at that point, it was still kind of a downpour, and he said, listen, I'll swing by and I'll pick you up. It's no problem. So special thanks to Matt Burns to getting me to Rita Christine's rockin' benefit. I had a great time. I met Miss Rossi. I'm sorry to refer you to as Miss Rossi, but I'm going to butcher your first name. Let me bring it up. It is, to get a better, Genoveva Rossi. She was in attendance, along with, Rita Christine, and, I think one or two other people, plus loads of bands and music. The reason why, as much as I would have loved to get an interview with Rita and Miss Rossi and to get updated, because the last time I saw Miss Rossi was 3 years ago. And when we saw her, we interviewed her for the Four State Horror Show that was in Winchester back in 2015. And for those of you who listen to us through either our website, or which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, or the Podbean app, you can go all the way back to that interview almost three years ago. In essence, back in 2015. And that the interview was great, just that the sound quality was like horrific. But as much as I would have loved to get an interview with Miss Rossi, catching up with what she's done, and in that 3 year time, and what she's currently doing, just that the background noise was way louder than it kind of was at the event, at the Paracon event. So I didn't want to really risk it, and I was just there just to unwind. It was kind of an after party feel. I did pick up Miss Rossi's Attack of the Killer Chickens short while I was there, and I'll get into that in a little later, but because this is mostly a Paracon type of review and discussion, so to speak. But for day two, like we said in day one, the day one coverage, there was a lot of rain. It just about midway through, it just started to rain and didn't stop rain until well close to midnight, Saturday night into Sunday. And that just kept a lot of people inside. I'm not saying that's a bad... And overall, it's a bad thing. But in a way, it kept things cool in the roundhouse. It was a nice con. I mean, it was a very wonderful con. Day two, it was even... The show suffered by I'm going to sit on the couch syndrome. Because it seemed a lot of... Even though for day two, they drastically reduced the tickets to get in to $5, because that's what they were announcing on their site, their webpage, not their webpage, but their Facebook page. But the thing is, no one wanted to show up. No one, when the tickets were like $12, $15 to get in, no one wanted to kind of show up because of the rain and maybe the tickets were too high. And at $5, it was like, oh, tickets don't, why do we want to show up? Now, The people putting on the show were pretty much promoting the thing all over town, even though I kind of found out about it through Z Combat. But the thing is, according to them, they were, and I kind of believe them, they were trying to promote the living heck out of this show. They said they had newspaper ads, they had radio ads, they had posters up all over the county. And just people just didn't want to show up. They literally didn't want to show up. That's a sad thing. And one of the theories is that the Paracon is kind of a niche con. I could see where they're coming from. But a lot of people kind of believe in it. And they should have came out and asked questions. And the sad thing is, I saw the article that the local paper put on. It was a good article. And one of the things that they said that they were going to have, that Paracon had, was the fact that they were going to have kind of maybe kind of belly dancers doing their thing and the local Ghostbusters and all that. And one of the things, like, for like evening entertainment sort of thing, and they're going to have witches dancing for evening entertainment. And that's the one thing I'm going to call them couch sitters picked on. Oh, they're going to have belly dancers and witch dancers there? Oh, golly gee, why would I want to go? You don't want to go to the fact that you could learn. There were panels about cryptozoology. There were panels about, in essence, you know, hunting Bigfoot. In a way, we have those panels. Ghost Hunting 101. About weird, also, putting on a being paranormal investigators and doing a paranormal TV show. You could have went and found out about this stuff, folks. You could have. Sunday was today was a great day. It was just the fact as Eastern Panhandle Paracon, folks. If you're listening to this, as much as you want to consider your show a failure, it wasn't. I'm going to recite what Big Candy pretty much told me today. Even though the fact that there was little to no attendance-wise in regards to people coming in and buying tickets, your show was not a failure. You had loads of vendors there. Even though it wasn't full of vendors, you still had quite a few vendors there doing their thing, either selling items, or showing off their gear or selling gear. You had invited guests like some of the paranormal investigators showing off the gear that they used that you could, in essence, pick up, look at, fiddle with. Big Candy said, how often do I get a chance to pick up and play, in essence, play with, in a way, a flare camera or FLIR camera, which is a infrared camera? How often do I get to fiddle and play with that? Fiddle with and play with an EVP camera? He said he got a kick out of this. That's not a failure. You had guests there that were solid. He said they have guests that were doing panels that were solid panels, putting out great and awesome content. And again, from a podcaster's standpoint, thank you for letting us, and those who might be listening to this as well, thank you for letting us record your panels. We will be giving all of you proper credit for your panels when we release them. And listeners, please stay tuned. These are great panels. These weren't just goofball panels. They're not. They were solid content. Literally, your show was not in any way a failure. In any way, it allowed us to expand. There were a lot of great, we made great connections there. It was new for us. We loved it. And what else can we say about this? We had fun. We had interesting. A lot of interesting stuff happened to us while we were there. We'll get to that in a little bit more in a moment. But the fact of the matter is, we thank you. Literally, we thank you. We had a blast there today. Even though you had a lower than most attendance in regards to that. Now, this is coming from someone who, in essence, attended a failure of a con. And this was going on almost 10 years ago, if not 10 years ago. The convention I went to was in Hagerstown. They only had, this is something I told everyone on our show many years ago when Matt was first on our show. The convention we went to, he had a few guests there, no vendors. And this promoter, not Matt, folks, this particular promoter, he claimed there were going to be loads of vendors. He claimed that there were going to be loads of invited guests. Out of these loads of invited guests, 3 invited guests showed up. No vendors. And the only person that would have been buying a ticket was yours truly, the Reverend Godfather. I walked out of there with enough stuff and signatures that would make most VIP large con holder, ticket holders go, say what? But you had a lot of content. I would have been more than happy if I was going there on my own. I would have probably been more than happy to pay the $15 to get in on Saturday to check you guys out, to sit down with a couple of the panels like we did on Sunday today. We sat in on the cryptozoology panels with, let me bring up his name. Let me pause this for a second. The person that I want to now insert the clip with, his name, we had the clip you're going to hear, it came in the middle of the conversation. His name is Frank Bennett. Just do a Google search on his name when we post up his panel that he did today. We will provide all of you with the direct links to his website. But this was just a general, not really an interview. This was just a general discussion between me, Big Candy, and Frank Bennett, who was one of the invited guests. He had a book there for sale. This was just a general discussion. This is what they were there for. I had a blast talking to Frank. I had a blast talking to the Twisted Paranormal Investigated Society, the ghost hunters that they were there. I had a blast. I literally had a blast. So don't get me wrong. The downsides were for your show was one, weather related. You have no control over that. And because of that, lack of attendance. That's the only 2 negatives I saw. And that being said, everything else was a positive. You had for a first time show at its location, which in an essence is my backyard. You did wonderful. And as for that clip, everyone, I am going to insert it right here. But before I continue and post that clip, let me just give you a fair warning. It's about 20 minutes or so long, so be forewarned, but it's a very interesting clip. So, again, here it is.
Me and this desk and this guy, he's got a paper on the desk, he's yelling at me, sign it. And I said, no. He's like, sign it. And I said, no. And I'd never heard, he's never interacted with me in this way before. He's talked to me, he's done anything mean. He's just always there in the background. He, like, in dreams, he would be like, I remember having a dream when I was little kid, me and my dad went to a store, and he was just sitting in the chair just watching us. And after that, he was like yelling at me, sign it. And I would say no, till it knocked the wall down, and everything outside, the schoolyard right in front of my parents' house, was on fire. And I said no. And so a giant man in flames came up, and he said, sign it or he'll kill you. And I said, no. And it went away and it hasn't come back. I don't know what that was. My goodness. But whenever people say man in a hat, it freaks me out.
I want to know what the hat communicates.
Right. What does it mean?
And my first thought was how you described it. The phrase in my head was impending doom.
Yeah. Pale skin.
You know. It's the stalking quality. It's going to catch you, and you're done when it does. That quality.
Yeah.
Followed
me for years when I was a little kid. This was probably when I was about 14 or 15.
Right.
And it hasn't happened since, but stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a house that was like horrible for like bad entities. Like doors would slam, the toilet would flush, like in the middle of the night. Like I had some.
Well, you know, at least the ghosts know how to flush afterwards. I mean,
exactly.
Don't you hate it when they stink up your damn bathroom
right.
and don't flush?
Yeah, ghosts are
really?
Everywhere.
Now,
your house train, that's good.
Seriously.
Now, you're talking in regards to portage, a ghost kind of attaching itself to somebody for greener pastures. In your experience, has there been ghosts or entities, if you will, that are both good and bad doing this, or is it mostly...
I personally have never been party to a good encounter with an entity. Now, I'm not saying they don't happen, but me personally, I'm not a party to a good one. That I can say.
So, it's in your experience, it's mostly a darker entity attaching for...
Well, like this gentleman, I was stalked. I was hunted, stalked. And they set up shop inside your home. And they travel with you from place to place, hoping to find opportunities where they could affect your life, perhaps make you make mistakes, which is what everybody has always pushed me to do. Like, for example, somebody gets me mad, my first thought is just to start hitting them. I mean, come on, you know what that gets you. Even now, I've got people where I live who are always trying to provoke me to do things. My first thought is, you know, lay them out and they'll never do it to me again. But you know how that's going to turn out. You serve time, you know. They're all. I see one situation after my life being set up where I can make the mistake. All it takes is for me to make one mistake, and I pay for it. I see that a lot. If otherwise, I don't have such drama elsewhere. You know?
Do you find that trouble follows you, or is
that it used to?
Right.
It used to. Yeah.
See, my dad's worst. My family's cursed. Because like every time we have opportunity.
Here's my point on that. If you're not aware that you're cursed, how do you know you're cursed? Bingo. And how do you separate that from just simply bad fortune? Because everybody has bad fortune.
Right.
You know? My wife was asking me about, can multiple objects be haunted at the same time? Well, sure. That doesn't mean a spirit is dwelling inside of it. That just means that I cursed this pen. Later on, when anybody's around it, I'll know that pen is the one that's going to provide my curse to that person. It's a proxy. The object is a proxy for the will of the cursee. The curser.
Then could you say that in this particular instance, could it be the aspect of a type of mind over matter? I think it's cursed, therefore it is cursed.
If you sit around and you dwell on it, you can really, you can make something bigger than it's supposed to be. You know, and quite honestly, myself, my king, we were having this discussion. We work on empirical evidence. You know, we work on, you know, we do forensic studies of things, qualifying the characteristics and methodology of things. And quite honestly, here's the problem, especially with ghost hunting. You know, humans have many, many flaws. And if you go into any dwelling predisposed to the fact that there's a little girl in there because you heard one, you're going to be always looking for the little girl. And what you're going to end up with, which so many have ended up with in the past, you're going to be spending endless hours. You'll hear a little voice of a girl this day. You won't hear it on this investigation. Somebody else will hear one on another day, and you'll go looking for it, and it's not there. It's going to spin your wheels. And in your mind, you've already been predisposed. There's a little girl ghost in there. You'll never have evidence of it, ever.
And I know right now, I've been watching a lot of the, on YouTube. I'm one of the many people that's out there that's cut the cord, so to speak. So a lot of my entertainment comes through YouTube, Netflix, and Hulu. Okay. And I've been watching a lot of urban explorers on YouTube. And some of the ones that I watch do go to not only just general abandoned locations, some of them are reported haunting. Now, me being an open-minded skeptic, oh yeah, there's somebody nudging the door behind them. They're not really, quote-unquote, alone. Could you say that about some, you know, granted we're in a paranormal convention right now, could you say some of those instances that, yes, they are possibly hoaxed, but thus kind of playing up to the audience as well that, oh, this person constantly goes to a haunted location, therefore the audience is expecting a door to open or them to hear a voice or that sort of thing, whether it's staged or not.
There's a big difference. The ones who I believe personally are in more of a hurry to get their name out there for because they found evidence, you'll find those online. Other people who are trying to probably do more solid work and make sure they actually have evidence are the ones who probably want to distribute it on something like DVD, like my friends at Twisted Paranormal. You know, they really want to qualify something before they send it to print. That's the, you know, how fast they want to get it out and get themselves proved kind of would, you know, cast light on who's in it for the recognition or who's in it for the actual science.
Right.
You see.
Right.
You know, science takes time. Science takes a lot of time, and you got to get it right.
So do you find like more people are apt to, they want to find a ghost just so they can go look at a ghost, or are there people that want to scientifically go, what is this? What does it want? What is it made of? How does it happen?
Exactly. There's only too many of those out there. They say they are. For example, Zach Bagans. He always says he's doing this because he had a paranormal incident when he was young. However, since then, I don't know how he's doing, but quite honestly, after what's that been on, 10 years now?
Yeah.
10 seasons, they say? I mean, how much do you need before you get your answer? I mean, is he still searching for what he said he was originally searching for? Because since then, you know, he's become a millionaire several times over, and Aaron Goodwin and all them, they're doing very well. And now they don't have any reason to shut it off, even after they've gotten their answer, because the money's just too good.
Do you think at this point they're just selling?
Selling.
Yeah. The
they're
image.
Selling. Yeah.
But
exactly.
Could there be a difference between someone that is selling something, but in other cases, even though the money is coming in, it opened up more questions that they want answered instead of actually selling it?
Well, for them, yeah. But if you notice, you pay attention to the whole of the paranormal community. Many things have been rehashed over and over and over again. You'd be surprised how many places on this planet they're finding little girl ghosts. I mean, in places humans have never inhabited. It's very suspicious.
So just to clarify, are you saying that if investigating team A or person A is finding constantly that little girl ghost and starts to be a trend, you see the other investigators, whether it be a TAPS-like organization, for example, or a YouTuber always finding that little girl, meaning it being...
A little suspicious when they, for example, Ghost Adventures.
Right.
You know, I can understand why so many people are calling what they're doing fake. I get that. They walk away from every investigation with this really hard-hitting evidence. Really. And it's like what I say about the Sasquatch. You got people going into the woods and running into this huge creature. You never see anybody running into one that's only 5 feet high. You know, you never see running into one that's purple or something. It's always the same creature all the time. It's enormous. You ask any hunter, any fisherman, that's the equivalent of going hunting for deer or fishing and coming in with legal game each and every freaking time.
Yeah.
I mean, the odds are just too good.
Like, you go hunting for elk, you might not find an elk.
Exactly.
You're never going to find a Bigfoot.
People like me will run into Sasquatch taking out the garbage.
Right.
And I've met experienced hunters who have never, ever seen a Sasquatch, ever. And hunting for decades, never.
Speaking of which, granted we live in a 24/7 society now, and everybody has access to a camera, audio recording, and so forth and so on, thus making it easier to capture such paranormal instances. Do you also see that with that technology and that availability, the more so of the hoax coming out to ruin the credible either ghost hunter or crypto hunter?
Are you saying they're faking the evidence that
way? Trying to make the name for themselves and faking evidence, thus ruining it for someone who might actually get legitimate evidence down the line.
I submit to you that some of these ghost hunters are getting evidence and don't even realize it. Because they're not very well versed on what they're hunting. One of the big points I make in my book is about the spirit. Everybody's got a spirit, but they have no concept of what it is. My wife encountered a full-bodied apparition at one place that she worked at. But you see, she didn't recognize it was a full-bodied apparition because it was dressed as a war reenactor, from people wearing period clothing, even smelled like them. Didn't look any different from anybody else that comes there on a given day. The only tip-off was that there were only two people on the grounds that day, her and somebody else that worked in administration. Everything else about him was as solid as you and me. So given that, if a ghost hunter went into an area and encountered a hunter in the woods or something, coming out of the woods, would they know that that was an apparition or not simply because he appeared like anybody else?
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't realize you were here. We're sorry. Go ahead. I actually got kicked out of a paracon saying that. They don't like this concept of how real spirits can appear.
Right.
But it happened to me, and it also happened to my wife.
I've heard of it. Just people
actually acknowledge me.
Really?
Turn to her and acknowledge.
I can help you, but then he just turned and looked at me and he goes, he shook his head no. So he actually acknowledged me. I acknowledged him. And I said, well, if you need anything, I'll be in the other room. So when I walked out of the other room, I thought, well, that's bad customer service. I need to go out there. Besides, I was closing the place down.
Yeah.
And I needed to make sure he got out.
Yeah.
And when I went back, he was gone.
Somebody could be coming through this room today who is a full-bodied apparition but appeared to you and I as another guest that's interested in the show.
Right.
Just walking around, looking, and you wouldn't know unless you actually directly interacted with them.
Yeah.
In the book, I cover my experience with my full-bodied apparitions, but that's for another day. I speak tomorrow, so I can cover all that.
We'll be covering that panel, and we'll be more than happy to share with everybody your full experiences and your research.
Well, that'd be awesome.
So,
be awesome.
Ask questions.
Oh, yeah, well, good chance if...
I am going to open up a Q&A.
So.
I love doing Q&As. Because something else I love to do, and I can't do it at this show, there's no format for it, but I like to put on something called the Paranormal Town Hall, where I basically just open up the floor for everybody to discuss their encounters with similar like beings like I did. And we all have a big discuss as to what our ideas are, as to what we thought we shared. Like, for example, I saw Dark Entity. You did, but yours had a hat. Why did yours have a hat and mine didn't? That kind of thing. And we all sit and speculate. I throw my 2 cents in. I'm not a paranormal investigator, but I play one on TV.
There's a lot of people that have these things and they won't say anything to anybody. But when you go to his town hall and he'll say something, then they'll speak out and say, well, I had this encounter or I had this experience or whatever. And then it'll dawn on them. I can talk about this with somebody. Someone's not going to say I'm stupid or I'm an idiot. I'm a weirdo.
That being said, in your opinion, is an event like this a way for someone who might be fearful in public to relay information to someone like yourself or a paranormal investigator in regards to not being call crazy, in a way. Even though some of them...
They'd call you crazy because you voted for Trump. I mean, come on. I mean, please. Really, if you want to call somebody crazy, whip out a couch and do a full session, please. You know?
But on all, you know, to relay a story such as a full body, seeing something that you can really explain, being in an environment like this in a town hall type of setting and speaking.
Yeah, these people are just dismissive. And they're not, you know, they're dismissive about Sasquatch and UFOs too. So what? It's a personal experience observed by millions upon millions of people going back centuries, spanning the entire planet. It's not possible to call somebody crazy. It's not possible. It's inappropriate to do so. You know?
So it's better off to ask questions.
Ask plenty of questions.
But ask
yes.
questions instead of saying you're crazy.
You could spot a fake. If you ask enough questions, a fake will reveal himself. You know? You ask many questions as you like. Because people who really experience something are anxious to tell somebody. Because most people feel sheltered in and that nobody believes them or listens to them. You know? It's a horrible feeling. There are people who have encountered Sasquatch who are absolutely terrified to leave their houses anymore. Terrified. That changed their entire lives.
Well, there is a lot of in this planet that we have not fully explained yet, I'll put it like that. And nature has a horrible aspect of saying, hold my beer.
Yeah.
Because how many scientists, when you look at the aspect of the ocean, per se, they could say, scientists, marine biologists have said, oh, nothing can live this year, and all of a sudden, jellyfish flies by the camera, or floats by the camera. And like, okay, that's a jellyfish. Nothing with a skeletal structure or any type of thing more complex. Swims by the camera. Okay, nothing with a skeletal structure will live. Fish. Swims by, and you can almost hear in their heads going,
fudge cookies,
you know, and they're like, okay, nothing could live this deep on the seafloor. Mm-hmm. Crab walks by, or a version of a crab that will walk by, and they're like, son of a, damn it, okay, nothing.
You ever read my webpage, BibleByBennett.com? I am not easy on the scientific community, because they're constantly trying to be dismissive. They're constantly trying to put things in a box and saying everything outside of that is not science because it doesn't fit in this box. Which is fair. Cryptozoology especially, it's fair. I mean, nobody's actually captured and analyzed a Sasquatch. I get that. Okay. But they're doing it with the paranormal. And there are more people that have witnessed paranormal incidents than that.
And I know what she's talking about, because I've seen I forgot if it was a documentary or something of the ilk, where in archaeology, I can't get the word out, someone who specializes in archaeology, and old stuff. Mm-hmm. And he looked at the Sphinx and said, the way the Sphinx is eroded, it cannot be what science tells us.
10,000 years, 15 years
right.
old or something like that?
Yeah, and he said, the only way I can understand and get a better idea of this is seeing a geologist.
Right.
And he called in, somebody said, listen, this is my theory. I think it's older due to how it's eroded in regards to this, this, and this. If I'm wrong, please, you know, tell me. I think I'm wrong, but I don't know geology. I don't know how weather and water erodes stones. And the person he spoke to, he said, looked at his evidence and looked what he had. He said, I think you're on to something in regards to this. And worked with him in regards to get an accurate time frame to kind of prove that the Sphinx is older than what it says. And everybody in both fields were like, you're wrong. They didn't want to say why he was wrong, just that they were both wrong. Because again, as you said, it didn't fit in that box.
But also, here's the other thing I got against the scientific community, is that they're always going to conclusions. I mean, 50 years ago, the conclusion on that subject was that the Sphinx was 20,000 years old. And they keep altering their conclusions based on new discoveries. And of course, obviously the technology is only going to get better. So what's your conclusions now if 20 years from now somebody with better technology is going to know more? You see my point?
Right.
Seriously, you're wasting our time with this. Oh, by the way, back to your point about portage. Spirits using you for portage to get from one point to another. A lot of times you'll watch the paranormal shows and they'll talk about, for example, the Ghost Adventures guys. They heard the same spirit call their names in two separate locations. Well, did it dawn on you that that spirit probably came in with you? What did it occur to you that it probably left the last location with you and entered this location with you? It's the same spirit.
And thus giving you, in essence, a false positive? Would you say that?
Well, no, it's just, it's the same. You think it's a...
something new.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's,
you're in a different location, and you're not aware you're talking from the same spirit from the last location because it's following you.
And again, thus, in essence, they're not realizing that they're getting a... even though they're getting a positive in regards to a haunting, they're getting a false positive because it's a ported...
they're not realizing that they are the reason for the haunting.
Right.
They themselves are the reason for the haunting.
Right.
That's because it's with them. They are haunted, not the building.
Right. And that's, as I said, the false positive. They're themselves are haunted.
Right.
And getting that false positive.
I mean, they're getting evidence. It's just the same evidence from the last one. Yeah, the air changed.
And it's funny because then you sit there when mine happened.
By the way, I should tell you, I don't know if I told you this.
And we're back. Let me just say, Frank was a hoot. Just hearing him talk in reference to talking about cryptozoology and his panel was the best. And it was one of the most enjoyable and informable panels that was there. And I can't wait for you, all of you out there, to hear these panels, especially Frank. So I'm not really sure what the order is in regards to which panels I'm putting up first. So let me just say, there is roughly maybe 10 panels that we scored over the weekend. So stay tuned for that. Maybe it's between 8 and 10. So either way, you're getting a lot of content for this. So it's going to be wonderful. I hope all of you stick around and listen to it. But here's the thing, folks. Here is the thing. Here's the fun thing about being at this event and doing recordings. As I stated, we were recording the panels, and like most things, we set up a little bit early. Here, we tend to do the Ron Popeil type of folks, and some plan sometimes when we're recording panels, even though we ask permission to do so, both through the promoter and through the panelists that are speaking and so forth and so on. So what we do is we set up early, we hit record, and we walk away. Even though we do come in back into where they're doing the recording every now and again to check on things, we again do the Ron Popeil sort of thing and set it and forget it. Anyway, but while doing it, and going back and checking on things, I noticed a few little bumps in that what would normally would have been a silent and quiet environment. So, that being said, after that little... this was that Saturday night. That Saturday night, in looking at that recording, I couldn't just erase that 30, 40 minutes worth of dead air and let it go to the waste, especially noticing that there were some odd bumps or sound bumps. Because when I'm recording this, folks, and when we record an episode, you could see how the sound is recording, which means a or an has its own unique sound wave. A train going by has its own unique sound wave. So, or a yawn, or a someone saying the, or what have you. It has their own sound wave. And a very quiet room, or a, especially a large room, has its own general background noise, or its own little level. And when you see that level of background noise, you understand, okay, it's been quiet. Now, and seeing a general bump, even a slight bump in that standardized sound wave, or what I've been getting, I was like, did I get something? Did I get ourselves an EVP or two? And I brought over one of the people that is more of an expert than I am in regards to EVPs. And let me just say that he said, yeah, those could be EVPs. He said, what I want you to do is save that, and later on tonight, go through that recording and see what you got. And if you got anything interesting, let me know. And sure enough, a lot of what was picked up, because they were doing a more detailed tour of the roundhouse than what I gave all of you on YouTube and our Facebook page, the mic that I use, the condenser mic, was picking up that tour, because they ended up in front of the stage. So a lot of the bumps that the mic was picking up was that tour, even though it was very faint in the distance. Now, here's the second thing that I'm going to share with you. And what I'm going to share with you, I'll share the entire clip twice, then I'll shorten it down so you could figure it out in regards to the clip, because it happened while one of the trains was going by. Now, I had a lot of the people that were there, again, who are more known to cover ghost hunting and EVPs, so they're a little bit more of an expert than I am, and they have a better ear for it. And I'm going to, me and the three other people who listened to this clip, granted, we each heard something completely different, and I'm not going to tell you what they said. I'm not going to tell you what I heard, or what they heard, I should say. I'm going to put the clip in, then I'll let you know after the trip. That's a later step. Here is the clip first, okay? Here it is. Now, here's that full... Did you hear it? Let me play that clip to you again. Now, let me just give you an isolated... If you didn't catch it those first two times, let me isolate and play for you the part that stood out to me, and I had the several people who are attending at the con, who are, again, have more of an ear, and they've been doing it a hell of a lot longer than I have. That little bit of an isolated clip that stood out to me. Here it is. Now, let me replay that little snippet again. Right here. Okay, there it is twice. Now, here's the thing. Now, here's the next step. I played you the full 2-second isolated clip of what was before it and what was after it, including what I just isolated for all of you. Now, the thing is, I want to know what all of you hear. Is it an actual EVP? Or was it something that could be easily explained? So, I want to hear from you. Send us what you think to longcoatmafia@gmail.com with what you think, and we'll let everybody know what everybody thought. Or if you want, let us know through Twitter, which our Twitter handle is longcoatmafia, or through Instagram, which is also longcoatmafia. Let us tweet to us. I'll say this, tweet to us. What did you hear if you use Twitter a lot? Tweet to us what you heard in regards to that little snippet. Or you could send us a message through Facebook. And our Facebook page that you could send us a message through is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. That's our website. Our Facebook page is TheLongCoatMafia. Again, I'm doing it again. I apologize. It's been a long weekend. Please forgive me. Forgive the show. To contact us through Facebook, our Facebook page is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPod. Doing it again. I'm not going to edit this out. I'm going to stumble. It's a long weekend. Insert your laughter here. The Facebook page is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. And right where you click like, please do so. Please send us a message to let us know what you think. Now, again, I heard something different than the paranormal investigators that listened to it. And Frank also gave it a listen, and he heard something different as well. So, but and later on, when we get everybody's opinion in who heard it, we'll let you know what we thought we heard. So we'll let you know on that. I just want to let you. That was just a fun thing. Me hearing that possible EVP was really, really fun, and it just gave me the biggest kick. Now, to kind of move on from that, like I said, I had fun both days. It was different for the show. It's going to gave us a chance to get different content for all of you out there. Now, to kind of move on from that, like I said, I spent some time chilling out and hanging with the folks, with Matt Burns, the bands that was at Rita Christine's Rockin' Benefit. And while there, I picked up Miss Rossi's short. I thought it was a movie. It's a short called Attack of the Killer Chickens. Now, this is something that she was promoting 3 years ago. I'm just giving you all context. Miss Rossi's a very sweet woman. She's a very wonderful woman. She's very talented. And again, her interview is way back. You got to turn the dials of the Wayback Machine to go listen to that episode. Again, it's on our website, thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, and it's on the Podbean app. Now, then at that show, she was showing and previewing Attack of the Killer Chickens. Now, I'm not going to give away this 6-minute, depending on what you look at. My DVD player said, this is a 12-minute short. And the DVD case says it's 6 minutes. Now, again, this is a low-budget short. There's no nudity in it or anything like that. There might be a little bit of vulgarity. There's nothing really extreme, blood and gore. As much as it's kind of unrated. What did I do with that box? I should have. Oh, there it is. It's right near my notes. Now, there's no real rating. There's a lot of, on the box itself, there's a lot of, egg puns and all that, and chicken puns. Like, one corner of the whole box kind of reminds you of for those of you who know what a zine is, it kind of reminds you like that. It's all hand-drawn and hand-sketched. So, again, this is just a very, very low-budget indie type sketch, and I don't mean to insult Miss Rossi in regards to this, because I want to give you context in regards to it. This, from what she told me, this in essence was a concept short. Pretty much that's what it was. It was something that she had an idea for, and she wanted to do a short, and that's what she did. And very proud of her. And this short, because everything's kind of sketched out, and kind of a low budget, very low budget feel. When I watched it, I had reminiscence. It's a very lower budget but better done version of Thanksgiving. But I think I enjoyed this short more than I did, way more than I did Thanksgiving. But I will say this: because of this short, Miss Rossi, and this short won several movie awards, not big time movie. This was, I forgot the movie festival that this was at that won those awards. But at that festival, she won a few awards. I think for actress, and producer, and I think director, as well as the short won like one or two awards. So because of that, she is now producing a longer, she said it was a movie, so I'm thinking, because I apologize, I should have asked her. If and when I see her again, I will ask her how long it is. But for the most part, she said she's working on a movie version right now of this short, which means the characters get more fleshed out. The story is more fleshed out. And she said, because the investor is putting up a lot of the funds, if not all of the funds for this movie, she might not have a lot of say in regards to casting or along the business aspects of it, but she has a lot of creative control in regards to this movie, which means it's kind of a handoff. And I understand, in regards to this, you see a lot of that type of, and it's a good setup to have a lot of the times, meaning you see it in business and you see it in entertainment, especially in both areas where it works out well. One of the prime examples is like Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak in regards to early days of Apple. Steve knew how to talk and sell. He knew the business aspect of things. Wozniak knew how to create. He knew the tech. He knew how to program. So they made a good team. One did all the designing and the building and the engineering. The other one did all the selling and the communication. And sometimes in entertainment, that's also a good thing. I might not know the business aspects, but I know how to act. I know how to produce. I know how to put things together. I know somebody who could do, or a few people that can do, the special effects. I might nudge the person funding things the right way, and they have final say, but I have a lot of creative control. While they're going to sell this thing to maybe a bigger studio, whomever it might be, but they're gonna, that's their aspect. That's one or two, a couple of dozen things I don't have to worry about. All I have to worry about is making sure it's written the right way, the actors and actresses are doing it the right way, and everything else. That's a great thing. And she's gonna be doing all that. And it's gonna probably drive her a little bit crazy in the long run, but I'm happy for her in regards to that and her level of involvement, because she's going to be playing, I think she said she's going to be playing like three or four parts in this. So good on her. So it's going to be a fun thing. And personally, I can't wait to see the full length movie in this. Now, granted, sometimes depending on the independent, or I should say depending on the creator, the movie could be anywhere between an hour to an hour and a half, if not 2 hours. A lot of the independent stuff is between an hour and an hour and a half. So hopefully it's about an hour and a half. And she said she wants to flesh out a lot of characters. There's going to be characters, cameos from the people who were in the short, as well as her, of course. So this is going to be a wonderful thing to see. I can't wait. I might put a link to her fan page in the description, and that way you could contact her or follow her in the proper way to pick up prints and your own copies of some of the movies that she's been in. So that's that. Now, like I said, I had fun at the charity event, hanging out, just kind of unwinding. Matt kind of understood that I was coming off the show and I was trying to give all of you content as well. So it was just me trying to relax and trying to enjoy myself a little bit. Now, with the STC that happened this weekend, and there was a few controversial stuff that happened this weekend, but there was a lot of great news, that came out. A Godzilla 2 trailer, with a lot of people. Again, you had a lot of trailers from Spider-Man, Teen Titans, Godzilla, you had a lot of TV shows show their trailers, and Aquaman trailer, the Shazam trailer, a lot of stuff came out. We shared a good chunk of it. that as soon as it came out and we noticed that we shared it. So, but one of the things that came out that was kind of the stupidity, it was one of the minor blips on everything, is that one of the restaurants, now, for San Diego, the Comic-Con, the SDCC, is a big deal. It brings in, like, close to, if not more than, 100,000 fans plus family to San Diego on a yearly basis. So this is a big moneymaker for a lot of the smaller businesses that are encompass the convention center, as well as the hotels and the restaurants. Now, what happened was, one of the smaller restaurants, I know I didn't cover it in our con guide, but there are sometimes, if it's a 2 or 3 day event, let's say it's a 2 day event, between day 2 and day 3, there's usually a kind of an after party or a Saturday night party that everybody tends to go to. And the wording that this particular restaurant kind of made it seem like it was happening during the event itself, but the owner came out and clarified that it was happening after the event. And the wording in the on their Facebook page and the article that was kind of passed around was, "Geeks be gone. Come out to our after party and enjoy the end of the con and enjoy not having to deal with geeks anymore." And that post has long since went away because they deleted it, because I guess they were getting a lot of phone calls and all that. It's something that I would have messaged to them on their Facebook. "So what do you do about, in regards, you don't really like the sports geeks that might show up to your show, your little bar / restaurant, or the beer geeks that might come to your bar and have the variety of beers that you might have on tap. So they're not welcome to your establishment because you're telling them, everybody, no geeks allowed." So what they pretty much said, the geeks are gone. And this is going to be an after party for the businesses themselves. Now, as when I told Big Candy this, his statement was pretty much, "How could you, in a way, offend any type of person that, or group of people," meaning, again, 100,000 people tops, if not more, attended this event. And for a lot of businesses, this is a solid chunk. This is their Black Friday of the year, or I should say, this is their holiday weekend, where they make a bulk, if not a sizable chunk. I'm talking between maybe 60 to 75% of maybe their yearly income due to this event, because of everybody coming in and it's pretty much spending loads and loads of money, because people that attend this have to stay there for almost a week. So they have to eat, they have to drink, they have to, and a lot of them will shop. And to say, "We don't want," in essence, tell the people going to this event, "We don't want your money," oh, that's bad. And there have been a lot of commentators that are, in essence, hated on YouTube and or Twitter in regards for saying that, "How dare you tell your fans and your customers that you, in essence, don't want their money, because you tell your fans and or your customers you don't want their money." Guess what? A lot of times, you are not going to say or see their money, as some of the people who say you insult the fans and you insult the customers, you're going to lose the funds. They boiled it down saying, "Oh, you're going to get what you think you're getting woke? Guess what? You're going to start to go broke." So hopefully this does not really affect them all that much. And I don't encourage anybody to go digging into this and insulting them in any way, shape, or form. So that's the big thing that came out in regards to this. And because I am tired I'm going to cut it off right there. And I'm going to leave all of you to boil down with the little EVP that we got and the paranormal stuff and the little ghost hunting little discussion in our review. So, anyway, you can leave us a message through our email. It's longcoatmafia@gmail.com. You can leave us a message on Facebook. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. Yay, I got it right. And you can also send us a tweet by our Twitter handle is LongCoatMafia. Our Instagram handle is also LongCoatMafia. While you're on Facebook, sending us a message, don't forget to hit that like button and follow us for up-to-date information in reference to us sharing news that you might not know right away, or updates in regards to where we've been, what we're doing, and so forth and so on. Same thing with our Twitter. We share more videos and photos on Facebook than we do on Twitter, so please follow us and like us on Facebook, as well as Twitter. You can also follow us on Instagram. Again, that handle is Longcoat Mafia. We try to post up some funny things up on Instagram, as well as where we are. Every now and again, we'll post up video clips there. And we do have a YouTube page. Now, here's the thing, folks. Please, just search for... We don't have enough followers right now to kind of change the designated thing that they gave us. So, which means if you search for us on YouTube for Longcoat Mafia, we come up. You'll tell that it's us. We have Igor there, and you'll see a bunch of our podcasts. Plus, you'll see a lot of videos. We're starting to post a lot of videos there as well. We'll put our walking tours there, and we'll put as well as on Facebook. You'll see a lot of the same videos on Facebook as you do on YouTube, but there's going to be times that we put exclusive videos on YouTube and exclusive videos on Facebook. The reason why is if we post up a video that might contain music, or well-known music, per se, meaning if there's music from Metallica in the background that we don't realize while we're doing the video, YouTube might flag that, and we don't really want to get in trouble, so we'll put that type of video on Facebook and make that a Facebook exclusive, while we'll put a long-form video, a real long-form video, on YouTube because Facebook does not like the long-form video. So we'll make the long-form video a YouTube exclusive. So either way, just search Longcoat Mafia Podcast and you'll come across us. Or just follow the link in the show description because we provide that link for all of you. For those of you who listen to us on either Apple Podcasts or Google Play Music or Google Play Podcasts, don't forget, we prefer you use the Podbean app because there are times that if there's a Google Play issue or a Apple Podcast issue, it's happened before, the Podbean app will always be there for you to download and play apps as well. But if there's ever a problem with Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, or Podbean, please let us know so we can get it corrected right away and let Podbean know. But you could also, if you are more of a desktop person than a mobile person, you could also listen to us through iTunes. You could also listen to us through our website, which is TheLongCoatMafia.podbean.com. You could download while you're there. You can not only stream the episodes, you could also download them and listen to them at your leisure on your MP3 player of choice, whether it's or whatever that might be. We are also on Stitcher Radio and Spotify as well. And both of those sites have mobile apps as well. So that way you have a choice whether you want to listen to it on your desktop or on the go. So right now that's about it. So I'm going to leave all of you be. So stay tuned for those panels to be released in the next couple of weeks. And don't forget, we will be at AutoCon getting even more content for all of you out there, as well as we'll be at the Four State Punk Rock Flea Market this September, getting content for all of you. And we'll be at the Four State October Pop Culture Show, so stay tuned. There is loads of stuff coming your way, loads of great content, loads of great interviews, loads of panels, so stay tuned. Stay tuned to our website, our social media, and we will see you in the next few weeks, next week and over the next few weeks as well. Stay tuned!
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia Podcast.